From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show. Super excited about this show. This is part of a series that Ashley and I started at the beginning of the year, the most valuable towns in the Sacramento region. And today we are going to be focusing on Rockland, which coincidentally is the home of the Growth Factory. This is where Ashley and I work along with our guests. We have the vice mayor, Jill Gallardo. I thought you were the mayor. What happened to that? You get demoted?
December. We'll rotate one more time.
And then we also have Robin Trimble. She runs the Rockland Area Chamber of Commerce. So we have people that know Rockland really well. Ashley, my daughter, is co-hosting this series because she knows what it's like from a real estate perspective. She is a realtor. She owns her own real estate company and has been doing real estate all over the Sacramento area for the last several years. And Rockland is it's actually your backyard. So welcome to the show, Ash. Thanks for helping me launch this thing. It's really, I think, worked out well, but today is going to be really fun.
I know. I love it, especially because you and I have both lived in Rockland. We work in Rockland, and we got two of the top people here to talk with us today.
It's a little intimidating having such high-level people here. So we will ask questions and make this sort of conversational. Maybe I'll start with you, Miss Jill Gialdo. Maybe just your background. You are the vice mayor. You were the mayor back in the day. As the vice mayor, perspective on Rockland. What's maybe give you a little bit of background on you as relates to Rockland.
Sure. Yes, I had the pleasure to serve. This is my seventh year on city council. We do rotate the mayor duty. It's an wonderful honor. It's also a little bit more work because everyone wants to write to the mayor, and so we do rotate a little bit. So if all things go as normal, I'll rotate back in December. But Rockland is in an outstanding place. I'm ridiculously proud. I know everyone probably says this, but we have, and Ashley, you know better than anybody, people come here very specifically. They come here for our schools, number one, I think. Number two is we have the highest level of public service for police and fire. And we've been recognized as being one of the safest communities to live in and one of the best communities to live in. And then now, as of this year, we have 37 parks in our 20-square-mile city. So the lifestyle
37 parks in 20 square miles?
Yes.
Is that like, that's high density? That's a lot of parks.
It's a lot of parks. The goal is everyone can walk to a park.
Everybody can play.
And cool. We keep building and we're adding on to some. You know, we've got some really, really cool stuff coming this year. Starting next month, we'll start on the bike pump track out at Whitney.
Oh, yeah.
Which I can't wait to see that. I didn't know what a bike pump track was. And a bike coalition said, we really need this. It's kind of a skateboard park, but for bikes is the best way to describe it. Auburn has a dirt field, but ours is going to be all paved, and we're putting in parking lots and expanding. So it's kind of an obstacle course, but you go under momentum instead of pedaling, and it'll have all age levels, so kids can get on there with their balance bikes, and older people will, and you'll do the hills and the curves based on your momentum.
Remember how Rocco had that one where he used his legs, Dad? Yeah, basically that.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a great place to live. It's a great place to do business too, isn't it? Robin Trimble, you're all about business. When you're not in Cabo hanging out with Jill, you're driving economic development and growth for the city of Rockland. Give us a little bit of your background and what does Rockland mean to you?
Oh, well, you know, I've lived here since 1990, so not quite as long as the Gallardo family, and I know you guys have been here a long time too, but, you know, since 1990, running the chamber for almost 20 years, which is a really long time, right? And, you know, I have seen the growth, obviously, from, you know, when I started, it was, you know, the population in town was about, you know, 20,000, very small, so we've, you know, more than tripled since I've been here.
It's a little over 60 now, is it 60,000?
Yes, about 74,000. 74,000.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. 74,000?
So, yeah. So in my tenure, we've seen it really triple, right? And, you know, in partnership with Jill and the city, you know, Jill and I have been working together this whole 20 years, Jill and her variety of capacities. You know, the family had a lot of businesses downtown, and, you know, it's unbelievable, the growth, but it's positive growth, right? It really has kept that community small town feel, but we've got a lot of big time amenities, and you guys know that. I mean, you do business here. You know, you really know that we have really got a lot of economic development, a lot of push for our small businesses, which you guys are key in helping us do. But then our large businesses want to be here as well. Yeah. So it really, like Jill said, just very positive momentum for Rocklin, for sure.
Well, let's talk about like what Rocklin is. If we step back from it, where does Rocklin fit into the greater Sacramento area? So if we're 70,000 here in people in Rocklin, how big's the Sacramento area? It's a million,
million or so.
We're one of the bigger towns in Sacramento, but we still feel like a small town. We are along Interstate 80, but then you have Highway 65 running through that, which divides us between. It kind of divides Roseville at some level, right? And that's the road up to Lincoln and up north. So we're really kind of at this place where it's almost like a crossroads in some ways. But the way I look at it is the way some of this stuff got divided, that's all about leadership. And everything in terms of building something great is about leadership. So maybe Ash and Jill, maybe, or any of the three of us, talk about what you see in terms of Rocklin leadership and the decision-making that happened, let's call it early on, to get us, you know, the right framework to build upon.
I think Jill's going to be the one to talk about that. I'll just say that Rocklin is basically the Placer County nucleus, right? And you've got Roseville and you've got Lincoln and you've got Loomis all connected, and Granite Bay just outskirt. But Rocklin is really the nucleus. And the one thing that I know is that there's so much synergy between all of the different cities. And that's what's making Rocklin so amazing.
Yeah. And I would add to that. So one of the things, you know, you talk about amenities that we have here. We have two Costcos that everybody says are in Rocklin. One just got built. It's actually in Loomis. It's right on my way home. I live in Loomis, so it's right on my way home. And I remember talking to Jill when this was getting ready to go in. I'm like, Jill, this is going to kill my commute home. I got a 6-minute commute right now, and I'm really worried about it. There's not really any traffic.
Now it's 7 minutes.
It's like, what? Well, there's no traffic yet. Yeah. Well, my nightmare has vanished. But then the other Costco is actually in Roseville on the border. But then you have all the shopping right adjacent to that. So it's interesting to think about where we fit in. Rocklin's got all this great stuff, but there's also great stuff right around it.
You know, it was interesting because people always talk about Loomis and Rocklin sometimes not always on the same path for growth. When Rocklin built all the infrastructure, the intersections there, we knew that sooner or later they're going to want to take advantage of, and Loomis would do that. I honestly am really pleased. It was business decisions as we go through it, but I think feel like our inputs made it a much better access. Our experience with the Roseville Costco made us know that we had to make sure we were being really assertive on what needed to happen so that there isn't those traffic.
Okay, so
backup.
The roads are built and constructed in a way wide enough lanes so that people just trying to, you know, drive 2 miles don't have to.
We were able
take
to negotiate that extra auxiliary lane, extra emergency access off around the corner. I think anybody that's been to Roseville Costco with the gas station understands why we didn't want a gas station at the one driveway that was there, because unfortunately, I mean, who would have known? But it is such a challenge for us in Roseville. So I'm really pleased, and I'm really happy for Loomis. I've always supported them getting there, Costco. I know it will be a huge benefit, because the thing that why Robin's here and what you guys do and understand better than any, small business and business drives what we're able to provide. I have right. the highest level of police and fire because of the businesses in, that locate here. I mean, 60% of our budget is police and fire. So every penny when we shop that goes into Rockland comes right back to you. And our job is to make sure we're supporting the small businesses and encouraging what you guys do has just been a tremendous benefit to us because you're the incubator to get these businesses going. And then Robin is the caretaker. She makes sure that the established businesses are doing well. And how do we attract somebody else too? Because that's what pays the bills, quite frankly, to, so that we can have the lifestyle.
Is that how the cities drive their revenues through sales tax dollars? Is that the predominant way?
Sales tax and then property tax.
Property
so
tax.
So it's just crucially important. Rockland is in a very strong financial position. We're very fortunate. I know there's everybody's sales tax is down a little bit this year, but we run very lean. We just actually, probably not the most exciting headline, but it is for me. Fitch just gave us a AAA rating. We have the highest rating of any city that I'm aware of in the area because we are very strongly positioned. I say we run a little lean, but we're very conservative with our dollars. And we've paid our legacy costs for retirement. We're spot on it. And we have great reserves and we watch it close.
Well, Robin, this is all about you and the business community then. You're driving revenue
Thank
and keeping
you.
The bills
yeah.
paid for the rest of us.
Well, I'd love to take all the credit for that, but I really can't. I mean, and Ashley knows this. I mean, I want to hats off to Ashley and the Realtor Group. You know, her in the leadership role as president of PCAR is just amazing. And I will say how we benefit, Mark, from the business community standpoint is by having healthy cities, having healthy realtors, having healthy people that are involved in their community. That's how this works. And being able to connect businesses that might be in need of something to the right places, right? That we're a connector. That's what the chamber is. We're a connector between, you know, folks who want to come and see Ashley and live in Rockland, to come and see Jill, public safety. I mean, all of these things are really integrated together.
Yeah.
And when we're all, you know, when all those things are going well, and you know they are, when we have hiccups, we can rally and we can really make things, you know, connect people to services, and we can really rally around our business community. Yes, absolutely.
I mentioned that I feel like winning in your family and business in a city, it's all about leadership, or at least it begins with that. So Allie, your city manager, she's amazing. She's been in the job a couple of years, about 3 years.
Yeah, and doing so well.
Yeah, so she's brought fresh perspective to this town that's been around since before the gold rush. And then you mentioned public safety, which I was thinking of Rustin Banks and the leadership that you have at the police department. That, you know, you just, and I don't know the fire chief's name off the top of my head, but those two have really impressed me.
Oh, and you met them both, absolute stars. I mean, they're really, really good. I tell people, and it's my favorite, Rockland and Sacramento, we had a recently, someone lost their earbuds. They were stolen, their earpods, but they were on. And so our police department said, we know where they are. They're in Sacramento. Let's go get them. And they literally chased them down.
This is awkward.
So does that tell you? That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just going to share a quick story, and maybe hopefully I don't get arrested by this. So we're in Cabo, and I have two sets of earbuds, and I lost one. And so Stacy, my wife, she's like, I'll check down with the at the pool and see if it's down there. And it was, and she brought it back. As we were coming back, I realized by looking at my phone that I had the wrong earbuds. I had somebody else's earbuds.
No, stop.
And so I have them.
Still?
Yes. So they could be tracking
me
down.
Turn those on.
They are, they're in Loomis right now. So awkward. Don't tell Rustin.
That's hysterical.
Probably,
well, we literally followed him to Sacramento and we check in with the local police there because if you're going to go knock on somebody's door. And they literally kind of gave us a little bit of gas of, you guys are here, really, for a set of earbuds. And it turns out that we busted a stolen property ring when they went there to the house. They did. So they're not laughing at us
anymore. I have somebody who was on vacation in Cabo, and I feel bad about it. So next time I go, I'll bring them back, and hopefully
if they see up at your door, we'll vouch for you.
Okay,
thank
you.
You really didn't know.
Thank you. Yeah, no, but it does feel safe. Where you look at certain areas around the state, around the country, but especially in bigger cities, it can feel less safe, but yet even in a 70-something thousand person town, you don't feel the homeless, you don't feel some of the problems that are kind of scary in some towns. Yeah. And
our numbers have dropped again. We actually have the lowest number of homeless in the area, and they have dropped again. We know who they are. We make connections with them. You've probably never noticed, but on a Tuesday, the county has a kind of the bookmobile van that comes to the library, and between 8 and 12, we can make connections with them, because it's all about getting them in. The resources are there. We've got to get them to take advantage of the resources. They can do their any kind of a court case. They can do their paperwork that they need for assistance. So we're really trying. Two of our police officers are our homeless liaison. They go out and meet with these folks regularly. What do you need? How can we get you into services? Because that's the piece. I think our Placer County Sheriff said 70% would not accept services. So that's the part we need to get them into those services. And I see they all have connections to Rockland. A lot of it is mental health and drug issues. But you don't see them on our corners. We really do make an extra effort to make sure we can contain and control and reduce the numbers and get them into the appropriate services.
So Ashley, I was just thinking, a lot of people are probably wondering, you know, it's this great place to live, but what is the state of the housing market right now in Rockland? Is it a hot market? Is there a lot of inventory? We know prices are up and interest rates are up as well. So what's it like to try to get into a home in Rockland?
Yeah, right now inventory is low. We're at less than 2 months of inventory. So basically, if in the next 60 days no homes came on the market in Rockland, there would be nothing to sell. There's a huge supply and demand issue because people are wanting to relocate to Rockland, specifically because of the schools and just the amenities that Rockland has to offer. So those people that are trying to relocate, there are opportunities. Maybe some of them are coming off market opportunities, but there's also some new construction properties that people are able to get into and be close to where they want to be.
Yeah. So right now, when we look at Rockland from a 30,000 foot level, we don't have that much open space to build more houses, right? As compared to some areas, we're only so big. It's hard to expand the geography, and you know, a lot of it's getting built out. So what does that do in terms of planning for housing or more business? How does that affect it?
And you're right. We're landlocked and we're about there. We have finishing out at Whitney Ranch, which is such an Ashley, you probably know the demand more than I do, but I hear people constantly trying to find a house there and they're gone.
Yes,
when
they are.
They pop up. It's such a great lifestyle. And then we have a new development that's coming off Sierra College, the College Park there. And then it really is going to be infill. That's about where we are. Probably that's the biggest challenge that I hear from people is, you know, oh, you're building a house at that empty lot. And I have to remind them, you know, make sure you've checked what the zoning is, because if you've got an empty lot behind you, it's probably not going to stay an empty lot. Check and make sure you know what's intended to be there, so you're not surprised. But that, I think, is our biggest challenge. Really important to me is to getting our downtown back. So I think that's the infill projects. As soon as we can get a couple of these proposed buildings to happen, I think that's really going to make the change on getting business to thrive here.
So let me just make sure I understand what downtown is. So I've lived in Rockland. I live in Loomis today, but I've lived here my whole life, basically. And our office is on Granite Drive, which is, a lot of people call it Toy Row. It's right. It's got Tesla. It's got Porsche. We're right in between
Mercedes,
Tesla,
Audi.
And Porsche and Audi. Audi's across the street. So it runs along the freeway, and then it dead ends into Rockland Road, which is a street that has Sierra College on it. And then if you turn right, is that downtown?
Yeah, really. Front Street.
Okay, where the Hot
there.
Chili and yes. Car Show is?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's considered downtown where City Hall is?
You know, years and years and years ago, back when, you know, my in-laws were first here, the Front Street was downtown and Pacific Street, and then a couple fires, and we lost Front Street, a big portion of it. If you've been to Conte Avino, the Baradoni building,
Italian.
That's one of the few that's left,
it's
or St. Mary's, the winery, and that was our downtown. And then historically, Rockland was the railroad head was here, and then I think it was like 1908 it moved to Roseville.
I remember you and me and Dan were talking about the funeral that they had when Roseville stole Rockland or stole the railroad from you guys,
and you guys
lost. That was a big economic driver. You had to regroup.
It was devastating to Rockland. I mean, they literally did hold a funeral, and it's hard to believe, but at that time that would be too far to commute, and they actually picked up some of those houses in Old Town Roseville.
People didn't want to workers from Rockland didn't want to commute all the way to Roseville.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
And if anybody lives around here, we're next door. It's walking
distance.
Stone's throw.
Yeah. Yeah. That was considered, you know, really, really a commute. And so, yeah, when it moved, and I understand apparently the engines needed to get a bigger run to get up the hill, so that was part of it. But that was pretty devastating. But that's where we really saw we lost our downtown, and the fires certainly, because you know it was back to volunteer fire department. They paid a dollar, I think it was a dollar a month to be a volunteer,
wow.
And that's how you funded the fire department. So
downtown then does that include the intersection where Taylor and Rockland Road kind of hit each other, that whole area there where the car show is.
Yep.
I wanted to make sure we bring up the car show, because when is that coming up? It's hot, chilly, cool cars. I've been there a number of times. A lot of really cool cars. Can you give us a...
Well, it's going to be our 31st year this year, Mark.
31st year.
Wow. So it's been around a long time.
30-year shirt in my hand if you watch it on YouTube. So 31 years.
Yep.
So walk us through, we've all been there, but walk the audience through what it feels like.
So it is, you know, in Quarry Park. You know, for many years, we talked about this, started Jasper's on Granite Drive, right up the street from where we're sitting right now. Then it moved to Pacific Street for a long time. And then once Quarry Park really got developed, we said we should move it there. It allows for more shade. It allows for, you know, people to have, you know, the kids to play in the park. I mean, it was just a great use of the space downtown. Mm-hmm. And the bonus in that, like what we're talking about is, guess what? When you are in that park, you know where downtown is, right? It's the it's the casting of a vision of what downtown is. Mm-hmm. We're getting people 30 years in the making, but we got people coming downtown, right? So when the visions that the city council and Jill specifically have about what downtown looks like you're asking, where is it? We're gonna know where it is now, right? Because you've been down there. Hey, I've been down there for hot chili. Hey, I go to Conte Avino. Hey, I go to, you know, Mescalito. I mean, people know that it's there. It's just not very definitive.
I knew it was there. Obviously, I drive through it all the time, through the roundabouts and going over to the police station for this or that. But I didn't know that was called the downtown area. That's my bad. But I want to make sure we talk about Quarry Park. So your events on the 31st, 31st of year, 30, what day
it's gonna
is
be
it?
On, it's always the third Saturday.
Third
so
Saturday
So this
of
year
September.
It'll be September 21st, 2024.
Okay.
It runs from 10 to 4 right there in the park. So it's a car show. You've been there. Ashley's been
cars.
A judge. Jill's been a judge. Yep. So we have about 250 classic cars, so 1973 and older.
Wow.
We currently are totally sold out of cars right now. I mean, that those car guys love this show.
Yeah.
They love to come downtown. You know, we have food trucks, we have, you know, kids activities, and of course the chili cook-off as well.
Jill, you told me to bring my car. You got to go buy a spot. If you're an old car guy, I own a few old cars.
Yes.
The old car guy buys the spot and they're sold out.
Oh, yes.
That's interesting. Okay.
Well,
we're months ahead of time.
Somebody.
You do know somebody now, for sure.
Yes.
And, you know, I think Jill brought this up earlier, but it goes back to circling back to what is downtown, what does that look like for Rockland, what it will look like in the future. So during COVID, we talked about this a little bit, you know, we could not host the event. So, but in the meantime, you know, we start planning this event the day after the event is over. And so we have car guys that we have a following. I mean, this event after 31 years has a giant following.
Yeah.
We do very little selling. So by the time that we had the, you know, when we couldn't host the event and we knew it was about April, May, we had 150 car guys who had already signed up, right? And we're thinking, we cannot disappoint our community. We just can't. So what can we do? Which I think is what Rockland does and what you guys do. You know, as entrepreneurs, which we all are, and leaders, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, if you guys remember, people are doing birthday parades and car parades. Mm-hmm. And so guess
what?
Graduation parades. Mm-hmm. So guess what? We said, let's do a car parade. Let's call all these car guys who have already signed up and let's just make a map through town. We can we can do that. Awesome. People can come out on the street. They can all be outside. I mean, we were doing every COVID regulation.
Just stay
at the
6 feet away from the car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, we would have never done that had we had to have the show. It's very busy. I mean, this event is gigantic. We get about 15,000-20,000 people downtown, right? All those eyes on that park and what we have to offer in Rockland. So we started that year with 100 cars. And guess what? We are in year four now of that car parade the night before. And people now, it's like people have picnics, they tailgate in front of their house and they wait outside for us to come by. They call the chamber office on Friday. What time do you guys think you'll be, you know, on Midas? What time do you think you'll be in Whitney Ranch? And so it has got its own kind of cult following, to be honest with you. So it was a good thing that came out of COVID that we had to be creative. And the show ends at Ansel Park. So the retirement community on the other side of town, that's where it is. Ends. All the car guys stop there and they park their cars. And then at Ansel Park, they do, you know, ice cream sundaes and they do ice cream there. So the residents get to come out. They get to talk to the car owners. It is a win-win for this community. It is absolutely one of the best things we do, if you ask me. And I think Jill, she always gets to ride in a great convertible car.
It's the best.
Tell them about going through and waving.
Completely. And one year, I have a grandson that's just a car nut. And it was so cool for his birthday. In fact, it was the Shelby, the Cobra. I got a hold of him, and he took my grandson for a ride for his birthday after. And it's just so special. The thing that I didn't get until I started serving on council is how important it is to have an event like that. 20,000 people. It's just like why we built the amphitheater for concerts. We didn't build them to make money off the concerts, and we really don't. We kind of cover our expenses. Those people come into town and they go to lunch in our restaurants. They go fill their car up with gas. They go shopping at our businesses and see businesses that they maybe weren't aware of. And that is the home run for us, is getting a way to support our businesses that other people coming from the outside didn't know about.
And I think a lot of people don't know about Quarry Park. So you mentioned the amphitheater. There's more than that. I know I've been to concerts over there, and you have major, maybe not, you know, the top names that are current. Taylor Swift's not going to play there. Holds, what, 3,000-4,000 people?
Yeah, we like to keep it about 2,000.
2,000?
I think that's a good size.
But I've seen, like, the Marshall Tucker Band we saw with you guys over there one time, and a few other bands. So what's all... there besides the concert venue, but maybe talk about the concert venue if you have anything coming up that's really cool.
Well, we have
the Adventure Park, and you know, it's one of those things of what do you do with a giant granite quarry? And we lurked at first about could we put concerts in there, but turns out those quarry walls might just kick out some heat, and the sound wasn't exactly what you would want. So it's so creative that they built this adventure park. It's really kind of a ropes course, zip line to go across there. We are in contract with a company right now and feeling very hopeful. What we really want is to have a cool restaurant, brewery, venue right there next to Quarry Park. And so there is a company from San Luis Obispo, kind of an idea similar to Oxbow, if you've been to Napa.
Oh, yeah, in Napa, that market, you know.
So they are looking at, I say, we're in contract with them right now as they're doing their due diligence. So we're very hopeful that we're going to get that going. The Adventure Park's doing really well. They book different companies and they come in, or schools, and so you get that opportunity to zip line and do the work of what the actual quarrymen usually did, but now it's for fun. And then our concert series, we built the amphitheater, is doing great. Next one coming up is Ronnie Atkins.
Did we get tickets to that?
I think we might have.
We tried to get tickets in August. About it.
Yeah. Okay. And then some of the ones that I'm, Christopher Cross is coming this year. Probably the number one seller that I'm just cracking up is Three Dog Night.
We're
going to be singing Jeremiah was a Bullfrog together. So
Dad knows that song pretty well.
To have the 8-track.
I can't wait. It should be really fun. So we've got some great concerts coming. We took a little time off in July, and I was worried about it, but timing turned out perfect with the weather. So we're back at it starting next month, and awesome. Yeah, we'll get a great group there. So hopefully we'll get you guys there.
Are there any other big events that you think are shaping for Rockland? I know there's Celebrate America and other things like that. Are there any other community events that are really bringing the community together that you can think of?
Well, I say Hot Chili is always our biggest. And then Christmas time, we do our Christmas tree lighting. Yep, tree lighting. That's something that Robin helps us. Literally, Gene Johnson, which Johnson Springview Park, his family donated that property. And a bunch of years back, he said, we really need a free event. And that's what got me started doing this. And so we think there were five of us kicking off that Christmas tree lighting. And it grew so fast. We were sending my husband to go borrow his sound system from the high school and the stage, which I watched it sink into the grass the first year while the kids were dancing on it. And we rented hay bales for seating and thought, will anybody come? And we had 1,200 the first year and 5,000 the next year. And
wow.
So we've moved it to Quarry Park also, and the chamber and the city are focused on that. But it's an opportunity. Everything's free, so you come and have hot dogs and cookies and hot chocolate and just that opportunity. We needed something for our families to be able to do that and have a place. So that's probably our Christmas tree lighting. It's probably cool. My next favorite thing that we have coming.
You know, I was going to tell you a little something that I think is another telling story about the intention of being committed to your community. So, you know, the Parks and Rec folks at the city spent a ton of time on that Quarry Park, right? I mean, the park part, but also the adventure park, right? And the first year that we hosted Hot Chili at Quarry Park, I had, about a week later, I had some of the city folks who worked on that park, right, come and say, I just want to say thank you for getting the community's eyes on that park. We have worked so hard on that park, and we were afraid that no one would see how beautiful it is, right, and how it attracts people to our community. And I thought that was really a special compliment, I think, to the leadership.
Absolutely.
Right? That we are very intentional about making sure the community's cared for.
Yeah.
Right? And I was glad that they came and said, we're so happy that you did that. That was really amazing. And I think it goes to, you know, the intentionality of being vision driven, right? You talk about that we're almost done, you know, at build out. That's our most important part. We got to finish strong on what we do.
Yes.
And we've got to continue to be intentional about bringing very positive things here. I mean, the car cruise, Ashley, I mean, that gets so many people's eyes on neighborhoods they may never drive through.
Absolutely.
And then they're like, wow, I want to live here. So it is very intentional about how we, you know, continue to raise the bar of community here in Rockland.
And that is one of those things too, as you go through the neighborhoods in Rockland and even speaking with downtown, when you're talking about the limitations of growth, that's a great spot for entry level homes.
Yeah.
People are coming in and renovating those. So you can buy a house for under $500,000, or there's multi-million dollar neighborhoods. So there's such a plethora of options and plenty of jobs to support it, as well as something we didn't really talk about, a couple of major universities right here in Rockland too.
Yeah. We have great K-12, but higher education is with Sierra College and William Jessup.
I mean, we always talk about when folks call me, I mean, you can go from, you know, pre-K or, you know, transitional kindergarten through PhD and never leave the boundaries of Rockland between, you know, William Jessup now offering PhD programs. I mean, Sierra College and all they are doing. I mean, amazing things Sierra College has done historically and continues to do. And then the partnership with Sac State, I mean, it's...
You talk
workforce.
About a backyard advantage having.
Yeah.
One of the things that the GSEC, Greater Sacramento Economic Council, made it very clear, Rockland has the highest educated workforce in the six-county area.
Wow.
And it's certainly because of Sierra College, Jessup, and then now we'll have this partnership with Sac State. But what that helps, we're not giant, we're not getting Bosch, but we're going to benefit from Bosch.
You are bringing in other high-tech companies. People are
absolutely
relocating here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're going to, and we partner SMA. So well with Roseville that, and we know we're going to benefit. A lot of their people will live in Rockland. They want to have their kids here. The manufacturers, their suppliers, that's what we're trying to get, is some of the suppliers, and we are. SMA Solar is one of the German companies that's here in Rockland. within 2 years, I think they've been here, they were in our top 25 sales almost immediately in sales tax generators. And they're so low key, you wouldn't know much about them, but they make the inverters for your solar system.
Wow.
So just having that is just a tremendous,
and it's their North American looking for the educated force. So they're investing here, right? Yep. They're putting roots down here. It's not like, hey, we're doing this little branch office.
No, yeah. Bosch is almost $2 billion with a B that they're investing in.
Wow.
So it's, and the thing, we actually went out to meet with them and we did 25 meetings in 5 days in Germany. It was, I don't know what Germany looks like, but I could tell you what the train system looks like. My last meeting with SMA was a 7-hour round trip train ride for that meeting, but it was so worthwhile. Fantastic companies. And when they commit, they commit. They're coming, and they definitely want to have a presence in this area.
So are you saying Rockland is very business friendly, looking to grow and bring more businesses in and adapt as needed?
Oh, absolutely. It's the most important thing we do. As we build out, I have to make sure that we keep those businesses fresh, supported, and keep that and they're great jobs.
Right.
We all know 65 is a nightmare, and we're hopeful that there'll be some help coming with that. But you can then get a great job in Rockland and live in Rockland and send your kids to school in Rockland and not have to go anywhere. So it's a huge benefit for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay, so why don't we go around and talk about our favorite things that exist in Rockland? And I'll start us off because there are some great places to eat in Rockland. One of my favorite restaurants is Primo's, but my favorite is Bennett's restaurant, and it's their third location. They opened up in Rockland. Great margarita, great fish, great all kinds of great food. So when I think of Rockland, of course, we've got Toy Row and all the great cars, but I like to eat here when I'm hanging out in Rockland.
Yeah, I love Rockland too. I obviously Primo's was going to be one of my choices, but you know what? I love a good dive bar. So Lori's Little Shack or Sully's always the pot stickers get me every time. And I just love that my kids are safe to go to Target and walk around, and I don't feel like I have to monitor everything they're doing. And I just really, really enjoy this community. And of course, the Placer County Association of Realtors is located in Rockland also.
That's right.
So. Is it? Oh, I thought it was in Roseville.
It's in Rockland. So that's, of course, one of my main stomping grounds.
Well, you hit Primo's is a weekly thing. My birthday on Thursday, reservations at Bennett's, of course, because where else would you go for your dinner? Thank you. But Mezcalito is absolutely one of my most favorites.
Okay, I've never been there.
Oh my gosh, you have
to
go.
Is that Mexican food? What is that?
It is Oaxacan. It's right on. So this is the backstory, the interesting thing.
You got to tell them this.
So as you know, my husband's family has been here. Our grandkids are fifth generation Rockland family. They came from Spain when there were about 500 people, and his parents built a restaurant and the laundromat on Pacific Street in 1948. And if you look on the concrete when you walk in, you can still see Andreas Gialdo, 1948.
Oh, wow.
It's still on the, and then on the steps, there's a DTG where Dan put his initials, I think, when he was in high school.
That's Daniel. Awesome.
And and every kid in Rockland back then, we didn't have high schools. So Dan went to Rockland Elementary, kindergarten through eighth grade. And then every kid in Rockland got on the bus and rode to Roseville. And when Roseville High got full, then they went to Oakmont, which is where Dan went to.
Yeah. That's how I knew Dan.
Yeah. And then when Oakmont got full is when we started sending the kids to Del Oro, or they kind of started sharing until, I think it was 94 when Rockland High opened up. But that was the gathering place, and Mezcalito was Dan's mother's restaurant. And that was Highway 40, remember, then. We didn't have Highway 80.
So right there on Pacific Street.
Yes.
That's Mezcalito's.
Yep. It is fantastic.
Well, I never been. You guys don't, the family doesn't own it, do you?
No, no. They, it was icing on the cupcake for a while.
Oh, that's right.
It was a rib place for a long time after Dan's mom retired in the late 70s. And so.
And it's Mexican food.
And it is so
good. Has it got a full bar or just beer and wine?
No, no. Yeah, just beer and wine. The most authentic that I've seen in Mexican food here. It's so fresh and beautiful. It's just fantastic. They have quite the following. And so you definitely have to try it.
She's making me hungry over here.
Yeah,
it's so
fish tacos.
But you can still get fish tacos and It's just so, so good. So I love that place. The really cool thing is that we have places to go. So yeah. Now I got to get downtown, keep going, so we have the nightlife to go with it.
Yeah,
I
love
it.
Yes.
Okay, so you guys stole place. My favorites. Uh-oh. So okay. Bennett's, the beet salad of Bennett's for sure. Yes. Primo's, of course. Yes. But I have to throw out their Vanita Ray's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right sure. here, right you're down right down the street. They have been here, obviously, forever, too, right? And just a mainstay of, you know, a very well-run, great food, been here forever, kind of a staple. When I have family that comes to town, I take them there because I always know the food's going to be great. And, you know, longtime owners and, you know, the original owners were Lisa and Randy Peters. Oh, yeah. They started that. And so I have to give a little plug to Vanita Ray's. Absolutely. I think they are also great.
Yes,
a ton of food.
You want a salad? Yeah, you get like 10 pounds. A salad.
A ton of food. So always, that's always a place near and dear to my heart too.
Okay. So last question, what did I not ask you? And then any closing thoughts? Maybe we'll go back around this way, Rob, and start with you. What did I not ask and any closing thoughts about Rocklin?
Well, I mean, obviously we all love Rocklin and, you know, it's certainly near and dear to my heart and it's just been a real privilege and a real honor to serve in the capacity of a chamber CEO here. I mean, you know, it makes us look, you know, you start in the beginning, it's all about the business community, but it is really a partnership. And I am just feel blessed after 20 years, still love the job, still want to show up,
nice.
You know, every day and help out and, you know, work with some amazing people. It really has been a joy. So I would say, you know, I'm lucky. I feel very blessed to be in this role and to work with all of you. And I do want to thank you for all the things the Growth Factory does for our small business owners. I mean, that is amazing work you're doing.
Thank you.
And I just have to, you know, really applaud you on what you're doing because, you know, we, you know, the Bosches and the SMAs, I mean, those are, you know, those are big, big fish, right? But really it's the small business owners and allowing them opportunities to, you know, grow and create the American dream. That is what it's about. And so I want to just thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
I mean, it's very, very important. Thank you.
Team effort.
Yeah, it is. All right, Jill.
Oh, I love that. Now, it is so important. I think the one positive besides the car parade, but out of COVID, is that we really focused on how important our small businesses are and supporting them. We were fortunate to be in a strong spot. So, and I have to give so much credit to my co-council members, Dave Bass, Ken Broadway, Greg Janda, Bill Halden. You know, we're all very different, but we work very well together. And to attract the best employees, you have to have stability. And that's what people are really looking for. And we really tried to do that. I think I'm so proud of where we are because we are so stable, but supporting our small businesses and the money that we were able to take our COVID money and give it back to our small businesses.
Yeah.
We helped pay for rent and got to deliver those checks to people that were really hurting. Our Toy Row saved us through that time. Everybody seemed like they bought a car, and thank you for doing
or
that.
RV.
RV. Thank you very much. That really kept us in a strong spot. And for us to be able to give back to the hair places and nail salons and restaurants that we're hurting was really, really helpful. Probably the thing that a couple new things, just to say that's coming, Nugget Market is coming, our first, which we're very excited. Yeah. It's going to be a really nice area around it. The businesses that are coming with it are going to be fabulous.
What's it going to be by? Where is it at?
Out off Whitney. So you'll see really close to Whitney High. So it'll be out. We're redoing that intersection and that's going to be really, really nice. We have another car dealership coming here. So we're very, very nice. Pleased to see coming. Both Volkswagen with our Audi folks.
Yeah, our mutual friend.
Yes.
And so it'll be right by us somewhere
here
too. Huh?
Yeah. It's our first normal cars. I could tell everybody, you know, I've got Land Rover and Porsche and Audi and Tesla, and now we'll have Volkswagen, and it looks like another one also coming in the old Camping World is where they've combined. So we're excited about that, and I think the thing I keep hearing the most, and I, We opened up the first indoor seating Dutch Brothers there at off of Sierra College.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe how popular that
over
is.
Over by the Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I haven't been there.
Yeah, over by the Chick-fil-A. The kids love it.
Oh, that's just open already. Opened. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah,
the old Del Taco, right?
Yes. Yes. And I say the complex that's going to come around Nugget is going to be really exciting. And then pickleballs. We're in January. They start construction on 16 pickleball courts in Sunset Whitney. Oh, and I can't tell you the demand for pickleball is
I have
off
heard that. I haven't just played talking it yet, about but I have that. A lot of friends that are talking about it nonstop.
I was like, so we're going to put them where the old tennis courts were. Mm-hmm. So I think that was one of the most exciting things. We were able to buy the old golf course and prevent it from being developed and keep it for trails. And I'm out there all the darn time.
That's right.
There's lots of fun stuff coming. I'm really excited. I'm proud of where we're at.
That's awesome. Ash?
Yeah, no, I can't stop thinking about all the restaurants now that we're sitting here. So we did not mention Chef's Table, which I love. Pretty great restaurant also. And I love shopping at the small businesses like Deer Creek Farm, which is also benefiting a nonprofit, and they have the cutest stuff there. But
your
addition-
mom buys stuff there.
Yeah, she's a big gift. All the gifts.
I've seen that.
You've seen it with the wrapping paper. But they're a huge support for small business, and that is mostly in thanks to you guys. And I love the forward thinking coupled with the approachability of the leadership from the small businesses to Willie Duncan at Sierra College. And my personal friend, Joe Patterson, our assemblyman, who actually lives in Rockland, too, who is representing us at the state level. So I'm really
Kevin
lucky.
Kylie, so you know where to live, Kevin, right?
Yeah, I just tried to throw it out there. So we've got some real heavy hitters here, and I love the forward thinking. I'm so thankful that I got to live in Rockland, and appreciate you guys being here, too.
Yeah, I think I echo what you've said. You used the word lucky. I feel lucky to have been raised in an area like this, and that we've had the leadership to grow it the right way. And so I think the best is yet to come, but it's pretty damn great right now. So thank you.
Yes. We love it.
Thank you.
And just including, because I can't believe I didn't remember, but on Patriots Day, it's coming up. So it's our opportunity to honor from September 11th. So it'll be the Sunday right after that. So if you come and see it at Johnson Springview Park. We'll have everything from, and same thing, we're doing National Night Out on the 8th of August also, so we'll have helicopters landing and food booths and those kind of
things. Where can people find the information on those events? Are they on your website?
Yes, on the city's website and Facebook pages, and then we started a mayor's message a couple years ago. It's one of the things I wanted to do because I think communications is the most important piece for us. It's hard to get information out to everybody. It's so important for me that people say, I live in Rockland, not necessarily Whitney Ranch or Stanford Ranch or Whitney Oaks. I want them to be part of Rockland. So trying to get those messages out to everybody is just really crucial. So webpage, our Facebook page, the Chamber will have a lot of that on there as well. And we'll just keep hammering to get the message out. Come get involved. Come see stuff.
That's
come
awesome.
See Rockland. Well, thank you all for coming on the show and for sharing the message, and for more importantly for your leadership. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for being part of it.
Yeah. Thank
awesome.
You. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage. And of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory. We're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement. Stop.